Here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Bill Crawford, along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. We're live in studio this morning. A beautiful morning in Sault Ste. Marie. We've had a great fall so far, and we've got hockey season underway. Damon, we got started last weekend with Laurentian here, an exhibition game. Lakers come from behind in the third period and win that game 3-2. And now Northern Michigan University is coming to town this Friday night. We'll go over there and play at the Berry Event Center on Saturday night. But let's get some fans out for Friday night's game.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Christmas outside, but I think for me and for the players, it feels like Christmas. There's a real excitement level with the team and with the program as the new season kicks off. So you mentioned Laurentian, and it was nice to finish on a winning note. I thought we were really, really good the second half on, kind of got our found our legs and got going there. But, now we're on to NCAA play. Huge rivalry between us and Northern Michigan. Father Coppel Cup on the line. So 7:07 Friday night, you know, get your tickets, get out there. I think it's going to be a great environment, great crowd, and our hockey team's ready to play, so we hope to see you there.
Yeah, this weekend's two games are non-conference. Just so happens that in the conference, WCHA sets the schedule that we play Northern only twice this year, and both games are over there later in the season. So this way we get a home game out of it. We also keep our rivalry going. The Father Coppel Cup, as you mentioned, that's a four-game series rather than two. And it's just more interesting, and it's an easy trip. It's 3 hours. It's probably the best trip we have.
Yeah, we'll see moving forward if, obviously a new coach over at Northern Michigan and Grant Patolny, if Grant wants to continue to do this. Walt and I had talked a lot about it, and as you mentioned, it's a lot about the physical toll our team travel takes throughout the course of a season. So Walt and I were on the same page that, you know, this is a trip that you're not going to beat up your team. Ideally, it's a little bit later in the season, but, one of the easier ones to recover from, makes sense geography. And also, I want to make our fans well aware of the fact that Saturday night over at the Berry Event Center, there'll be a dedication to Coach Comley. They're going to rename the rink after Coach. And anybody who has the ability to get over to Marquette and honor Coach Comley, obviously, one of our great alumni, former captain, former coach, NAIA champion coach, means so much to our program. And Diane will be there with him, the whole family. So if you have any chance to get over to Marquette and honor Coach, it'd be a great thing to be part of. And I know for Rich and I, for it to line up that way, for us to be part of it, such a great mentor to us. We're really looking forward to that, different side of this rivalry and enjoying that moment. But otherwise, we're focused on winning a couple hockey games, and really just Friday night when that puck drops, we want to be ready to go.
Yeah, Rick Comley nowadays is scouting for the Chicago Blackhawks in the National Hockey League, but he's a guy who's well known in this community, certainly well known in Marquette. Marquette's his home now. He came out of Stratford, Ontario in 1966 to come and play here at Lake Superior State for Ron Mason. Had a tremendous four-year career. He's one of the better players we had in those days, a tough guy. Back in those days, you could drop the gloves and go at it. Nobody wanted to go near Rick Comley. He was kind of like Gordie Howe at the time. Nobody wanted to touch him because he'd win every fight he got into. And there were a lot of fights in those days down at Puller Stadium, and entertainment deluxe. We used to pack that building, and that's where Laker hockey really took off, and Rick Comley very much a part of that. Later, he was an assistant coach to Ron, and then he became the head coach when Ron Mason left for Bowling Green. He was here a couple of years as head coach, won an NAIA championship, went on to over to Northern, and finished up his master's over that way, and then he started their program. They wanted him to start a hockey program, and right from scratch, he got it going, and of course, they had a good budget for him, but hey, he's had some tremendous players over the years, won a national championship there, went to your alma mater after that, followed Ron at Michigan State, won a national championship there. I think Rick Comley's probably one of the five most respected people in the game.
Oh, yeah, I'd probably, bump him up a little bit, maybe the top or top three. But, yeah, just unbelievable what he's accomplished to win championships everywhere he's been. Done it the right way. And we talked in the radio show the other night there that as good of a coach he is, he's an even better human being. When you get a chance to see him at a game when he's scouting to grab 5 minutes, he's happy to talk and share his experiences. But a great husband, a great father, and really has done things the right way. So it'll be a huge honor. And I'm very fortunate we were able to take part. I know my family's going to travel over. Diane's a good friend, and has helped Angie along in our role as a wife to a hockey coach is not always easy. So they mean a lot to our family and into the Metros, and so that'll be nice. And it's funny, you kind of went into that longer history because David Pates, the new athletic director, and I were talking the other day, and just about the cradle of coaches here at Lake State. You know, Coach Mason, Coach Comley, Jeff Jackson, Frank Anzalone. You know, this place, I'm not sure. I'd like to see other schools kind of match, you know, the legendary coaches that have come out of their programs. But Lake State's been unbelievable in that area as well. And certainly Rick is right up, you know, with Ron as one of the greatest all time in college hockey.
And that'll be coming up Saturday night. They'll be naming the rink, the Berry Events Center, after Rick Comley. And there's a dinner beforehand. They've done a big job with this. And I think they intentionally, the people who planned this out and wanted to name the rink after Rick, they wanted to play Lake Superior State, so they've picked this weekend to do this because Rick has such an affiliation with both Lake State and with Northern Michigan University. And there'll probably be some people from Michigan State around that weekend, too, so including yourself and Mike York, our assistant coach. So it's going to be a good weekend, but it starts off tomorrow night, Friday night. We are going to start at 7:07. That's the start time for the game. And that's something to talk about, too, because a lot of fans have thought for years and years and years we should be playing earlier than 7:35, and we're going to do it this year. We're going to at least experiment with it.
Yeah, you know, and a chance to make some changes with all the changes, you know, with the administration at Lake State. So we'll try. You know, I don't think there's any reason this town people can't get there 30 minutes earlier. You don't, the commute's not too tough or too difficult. So we're looking forward to it. I know from a player recovery, a coach preparation, you know, 30 minutes doesn't seem like a whole heck of a lot, but for our players to get to bed and recover, and obviously both teams deal with it, it's not an advantage, but it's a lot better for preparation for our teams. And, you know, again, going back to Coach Comley, I think my second go-around with him at Michigan State as a member of his staff, we went to a lot of Saturday 5 o'clock starts. And, you know, players loved it. Coaches loved it. We kind of got a little bit of our lives back again, a lot more preparation, recovery time for our players. But local businesses loved it. So now, you know, post-game, you're getting out of the rink 7:30 and go downtown and grab a bite to eat at the Palace or Antlers or, you know, wherever you want to go. And so that's something I'd like to look at going forward over the next couple of years and try a couple of those nights. But right now it's 7:07s. And again, it's going to be hard to get to sleep tonight. It feels like Christmas.
Yeah, it's, you know, hockey coaches kind of live around the season. And this is it. We get it started tomorrow night. And, you know, we really haven't talked a whole heck of a lot about Mike York joining this staff. We're going to get him on the Laker Hockey Show one of these Tuesdays and discuss his life and in detail. But he's a friend of yours. He's somebody you played hockey with, and he's the new coach. He replaces Doug Holava. You know, Mike York reminds me very, very much of a Laker great player named Sean Tulloir. He's got that same personality. He's not a Mr. Vivacious. He's very cerebral, and you can tell he's thinking all the time. But I think he's going to be a welcome addition to the staff. I think the players are really going to appreciate how he approaches things.
Yeah, we've seen that, you know, already. I mean, there's just you know, a little twinkle in the player's eye when they get a chance. I mean, they you know, they're very aware of his accomplishments in the game, you know, at this level, at the pro level, and so they know he's done exactly what they all dream of doing. And so anything he has to say, their ears are tuned in a little bit more there, and they want to suck up and soak in what he has to share with them. So yeah, he's done a good job kind of jumping in there and getting involved. And it's hard early on in those limited minutes where, you know, he hasn't been able to do as much as I'd like him to do because he's got kind of a new drills and new mindset, and we don't get enough time with the team to put those in place. So now that we're finally officially in season as of last Saturday, he's got a chance to be a lot more involved and a lot more active. So he'll make a real positive impact on our team.
Yeah, I guess that's another big question right now too. You've had a week now, you saw your team in action, you saw some things you liked, you saw some things you probably didn't like, but you figure, hey, we need to work on this and that. You've had 4 or 5 days to work on it in practice, 3 maybe, and what have you been really concentrating on this week as you get ready to play on Friday night against Northern Michigan?
Well, there's still a lot, you know, that's really all facets for sure. You know, we've had spent a little bit more time on the D side of puck so that we're, you know, hope to come out of the gates and be sharp defensively. You know, we're going to mix in some young D with some veteran D, so there'll be a little bit of an imbalance there, and we want to make sure those young guys are ready for what they're going to face here when the puck drops Friday. That's been a focus. Special teams, you know, we've got to find line more time, and we've spent some time in that this week. You know, we mentioned a couple times the power play breakout in zone. You know, the Tyler Anderson group with Jake Hand and Diego Gage and Hampus Erickson were very good in zone. And we weren't surprised in the power play breakout because it really just is something that we haven't had time to get to. So we've spent a little bit more time on the power play breakout. You know, we've got to get more penalty kill time as well. Some other habits that, you know, playing the right way, getting summer hockey out of your system. You have to play physical. You have to go to the offensive net. You have to take care of your own net. So really just trying to get the mindset right, how hard you have to compete every shift to give yourself a chance to be successful.
Yeah, you got an interesting mix of players here, too. You said you got some freshmen you're going to mix in with veterans on defense. We've got some good leadership this year. I think your captain, Aiden Wright, is outstanding. I think all summer I figured he was going to be the captain of this team. He's a young man who has not missed a game in his career here at Lake Superior. He's a senior now. He's a great student. He's an academic All-America. He's very steady, makes very few mistakes. He's a great captain and a good leader. But this year, as compared to last year, you have four seniors and you have a lot of experienced upperclassmen with this crew now. A little bit different situation there, too. I think the leadership's stronger. The freshmen should acclimate easier because of that.
Yeah, I think so. And that's, you know, as a young coach, to me, that's where I made my biggest mistake last year was, you know, I'm a big believer that if we're gonna do great things here, the leadership, the ownership is going to come from within that locker room. Well, last year we had one senior, and I was way too late in recognizing that we had to step in and fill more of that void because we lacked some of that experience in those upperclassmen. So we will be better off because, you know, there are four of them now. That's still not a huge class. I think most coaches around the country would chuckle. We're sitting there feeling great that we've got four seniors compared to one, but it's still not a lot. But we will have a better leadership by group, by example. The junior class is a very large group. They've played a ton of hockey here, so they're gonna be very valuable for us again this year, like they were as sophomores last year. But you know, we learned, and we'll do a better job of reading our room, recognizing when the coaches better be involved and provide a little bit more. But I think, again, you know, we'll have more ownership, we'll have more of our impactful players in leadership positions, and so that'll make us a better culture and a better program.
All righty, we're going to take a break here on Laker Hockey Talk this morning. We're live in studio, Damon Witten, Bill Crawford. We'll be right back with more after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
All righty, Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. We are live in studio this morning. We want to thank Jim DeSano. He's engineering for us here, keeping us on the air. And interesting conversation always when we talk Laker hockey. But Friday night we open at home against Northern Michigan. We go over to the Berry Events Center on Saturday night for Rick Comley night. They're going to be honoring the former Laker in Northern Michigan and Michigan State coach by naming the rink at Berry Events Center after him. It'll be Comley Rink from now on, which is really, really nice. You know, I saw where Ricky Comley, young Rick, just got a job with the National Development Program, too. He's director of player personnel working with Scott Monahan and company down in Plymouth. That's a nice little move for Ricky. He's been trying to get into coaching and trying to work behind the scenes. good young guy who hasn't had that many opportunities, but that's a great job right there. He'll do a good job with that.
Yeah, it really is. And his interest is more on that scouting side. So he's been, you know, throughout the USHL for a few years, you know, trying to kind of look at some NHL jobs. And now he's in a great spot. I mean, he'll be dealing with the elite kids in the country year mm-hmm. after year, and he does a good job there. He'll be in that NHL gig that he's been looking for. So really good move for Rick Jr. He was down in Detroit a couple weeks ago with me and, you know, just shared that news and, you know, got his new place set up. So he was looking forward to the move. I'm not sure if he's in Detroit quite yet, but if not, he'll be there shortly. And Rick and Diane are now in Chicago with the grandkids and Jillian. So they'll be fairly tight together there. And, you know, we'll see Coach here quite a bit. He covers Lake State for his duties with Chicago Blackhawks. So it's always nice to see Coach at games a few times a year. And again, going to be a nice weekend over there. But more worried about Friday night.
What do we know about Northern Michigan? We know they have a couple of pretty good scorers back. They've got a great goaltender in Tolvanen coming back for his junior year, I believe. And but they lost a lot. They lost Shane Sooth. They lost Dominic Schein. There's some others that have gone out the door, too. And they'll be somebody to be reckoned with, but they haven't played a game yet either.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting mix. I think the challenging part, I'm frustrated for my players, is that we can't give them a scouting report. You know, typically when we're playing a WCHA opponent, we have more film than we could ever possibly need or dream of. But here we are with a coaching change. So he'll be bringing in some new ideas, some new structure. They haven't played yet, so there's no film to gather on them. So that's you know, a little bit of advantage for them, where on the other hand, we have the advantage that we've at least played one exhibition game and, you know, a little bit our game legs and a game type situation. So hopefully we can jump on them early and use that to our advantage. But, you know, Zach DiMattoni, their captain's back. He's been a very good player for them. Senior, played a lot of college hockey. Robbie Payne is a pretty prolific goal scorer. He'll be a real big threat, both 5-on-5 and on the power play. You know, the one thing I feel like we know is where Robbie will play on the power play. He's got a great one-timer, and he's a guy you really have to be cognizant of. If you give him a chance to shoot the puck, it's a good chance he's going to score a goal. And, you know, on the back end, they got a couple small defensemen like Jordan Klimek and Ryan Black who can really skate and move pucks. And then they got a couple big guys like Connor Franti and Rylan Yaremko. So they've got a real kind of mix from undersized mobile guys to kind of big physical guys. And, you know, you have to be a little bit of aware of the matchup on the ice. And do you want to use, you know, speed and beat some of those bigger guys, try to test them with your speed, or do you want to put pucks behind heels and make those little guys pivot and go back? So we'll have to be sharp on the bench for our players to make some in-game adjustments. That's one area, the media timeouts. You get the three per period, you know, a real good chance 4 to 6 minutes into the game, you get to make some adjustments. And so we'll be real active with those as we learn what they're doing on the ice.
How about your team now? This Friday night, I know against Laurentian, you had 4 or 5 extra players on the bench. Your bench was like a fire drill down there sometimes, but you can only go with 20. You got a few decisions to make. You and Rich and Mike will sit down and decide who's going to start. It'll be interesting to see what you do on defense, because you got a lot of returning defensemen here who've had a lot of experience at this level. And yet you got some really good-looking, big, mobile freshmen. You're going to want to mix them in there. Somebody who's used to playing isn't going to be playing, and somebody who is brand new to the program and isn't sure what he's doing yet is going to see a lot of ice time.
Yeah, that's, you know, it is. That's probably the toughest decisions right now is on the back end. You know, and a guy like Tyler Anderson, you know, he brings in a real unique skill in terms of his ability to shoot the pucks on the power play. You know, he's repped there pretty extensively, you know, so he's going to play and, you know, he's going to have to adjust quickly 5-on-5 to some of the pace and compete level at the college level. Lucas Kybel's a little bit similar. You know, he's got a very good stick on the power play, and we've lacked that a little bit over the last couple of years. So, you know, there's some guys like that that have some specialty roles etched out a little bit early on here, but they're going to have to keep those roles and play well and be, you know, plus players for us in order to stay in. But, you know, Aiden Wright, you mentioned, you know, obviously he's a lock. He's played every game here in his career, and hopefully that continues throughout this year. You know, Kyle Chatham's battled some things in preseason physically in terms of, you know, some small injuries and that have kept him out a little bit. But Chat's can play. He's been a very good defenseman for us. And so we'll have to make some decisions there. And I think up front, you know, we've talked to a couple of guys in this little bit of limited time that, you know, there's a chance to maybe be, you know, great on faceoffs and that keeps you in the lineup. Or, hey, you know, grab a penalty kill role and that's going to keep you in the lineup or give you a chance for a bigger role. So we're very early, obviously, but we're going to real quickly try to get to some guys and really let them know, you know, if you want to play, if you want to contribute, here's a way you can do it. You've got to be great at it, learn it, and, you know, and that keeps you in the lineup and builds your role in this program.
Yeah, you got a couple of lines coming out of the game against Laurentian, looked real good. You got two goals out of the Cuglietta line. He's got Jake Hand on one side there, and that's a little bit of an experience line right there. Gage Terrell on the other side, and then you've got Henke playing between Humitz on one side and Nellis on the other. That's experience. That's two lines right there that you can expect a lot from this year.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, you know, they've played. They've played Gage, Diego. They stepped on campus 3 years ago now. They from day one, they were really top six forwards, top nine for sure. Both power play, both penalty kill. So, you know, those guys are ready to go. They look good. They'll have big years. You know, Jake Hand's been here 3 years. He's not quite gotten to the level that we think he can get to and where he should be, but he's showing early on that, you know, he's ready for a breakout year. So that's very positive. JT, you know, our returning leading scorer, you know, I don't think he was great against Laurentian, but I expect him to be ready to go. And I know he's got big goals, both within the WCHA and nationally this season. I think it's very attainable for him to play with guys like Nellis and Humitz, again, guys who had big years and can play. So our top six is very deep, very strong. You know, that doesn't account for Braden Gelsinger, who for sure can play a top six type role and a top nine role. You know, Hampus Erickson's been good. He's kind of locked in as third line center right now. And a couple of guys battling. Ian Johnson's done a good job with that line with Gelsinger and Hampus. So, you know, but those are moving parts. You know, those things change. Freshmen hit walls, things like that. So we'll continue to rep some guys and look at some areas. And then again, who's going to win faceoffs? Who's going to shut lines down? Who's going to kill penalties? There's some opportunities for guys to grab some roles still.
Yeah, I would think, you know, when it comes to PK, you got a guy like CJ Hayes who's very, very quick. You can stick him out there. He can fly around, and he can get some other things done, too. CJ's not always the strongest guy on the puck, but boy, can he skate. And, you know, you mentioned Erickson a moment ago. I've been really impressed with Hampus Erickson, not only in the game against Laurentian. I thought he was really good, but he's a really good practice player, too. He's just a good hockey player. He's going to be very good.
He is, yeah. And, you know, I think him and Tyler, when you look at it, they're big bodies, you know, and they're still physically immature in some ways. When you look at them 6 months from now, a year from now, I think their bodies will be totally reshaped, and they're going to be very impactful players. They're going to be very good for us this year, but moving forward, those guys are going to be, I think, really good players at our level. But Hampus plays the right way. He plays hard. You know, he was a guy when we find out about Mitch Holtz and Luke Morgan that, you know, right away we knew we wanted him, and he was continuing to kind of finalize some things with transcripts and things like that coming from Sweden. So we were happy to get him. We knew from day one, just like Will Rydell, when we had a spot open up with Chris Bandula signing with the Capitals, you know, we were all over Will Rydell, and he was finalizing some transcripts, things like that. So, and he's been very good. So we like our mix. We've got a good team, the deepest we've been in our 4 years, and we're expecting a great result Friday night, and that to continue throughout the season.
Yeah, you've got another defenseman waiting in the wings too. Could be the best of the bunch of them, really. I'm really impressed by him, not only as a player, but as a person. He's a very mature kid. He's transferred here out of Providence College, and he can skate. He's coming off some surgery right now. He's had some labrum problems in his hips, but I'll tell you what, Ruggiero is going to be a good player, and it's going to be a very good thing for the coaching staff to have to figure out how to get him in the lineup now come December.
Yeah, I don't tell you're going to make me some restless nights already thinking about that. But, you know, we're already talking playing 7D potentially because of our depth there. And like you said, when Steven's in, you know, we could honestly almost roll 8 deep. So that's going to be really competitive and difficult. But you mentioned Steven, 6'3 or so, just, you know, phenomenal shape, elite skater at his size, you know, played in the U.S. national program Anaheim draft pick. So he's here to play, and we brought him in because he can play. He's big. He's strong. He's going to be very, very tough for teams to play against. I remember a couple of years, you know, going into a place like Mankato, and they got this big mobile D-core. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are with this big mobile D-core. A little bit young. Stevens played some college hockey, so it's a little bit different. Played, you know, Youngstown national program. So it'll be an easy adjustment for him once he's in, or as easy as it can get, I guess, for a young defenseman. But that's going to be us, you know, right now and a year out, where teams are going to really dread coming in and trying to find a way to attack us, whether on the rush or in our D zone. We're big, we're strong. It's going to be really fun to mold that group and see what they can bring.
Well, we haven't talked goaltending at all. In fact, goaltending's kind of been backburnered for conversation. We're not sure what's going on there. Nick Kossoff's the heir apparent. He played real well against Laurentian on a Sunday afternoon. He's looked good in practice. I thought he had a great practice yesterday. He did a lot of good things around that net on power play against him, etc. He's got a good attitude always. Nick, he's a junior now. I would think he'll get the start on Friday night. But you got some good young guys backing him up right now, too. You've got Merrick's Mittens, who's out of Latvia, following along with Bindulis, who played for us last year on defense. And Cooper Lukenda's back. Now, Cooper, the problem with him, as I see it, is he came right out of AAA, right to college hockey, which is a big, big jump. He didn't play any junior hockey, so there's a learning curve area there that he kind of skipped by that he's got to try to make up for now. And then you got Roman Bengerts, who's a big, competitive goaltender, who was the goaltender or player of the year in Manitoba last year, and he's another one. You got four goaltenders there. More decisions.
Yeah, and by design, you know, we knew. You know, we have obviously trust and faith in Nick, but you know, you better be good in net if you're going to have a chance to climb the ladder and win hockey games. So we wanted to make sure we were pushing those guys and that we're not just good, but we're great in net. So I think we've got a chance to do that. You know, Nick Kossoff's just a world class kid. You know, another academic All American, unbelievable work ethic. Again, a guy with a great body. He was really serious about his approach to the game on and off the ice, and his confidence is up right now, and he played well. So he's, you know, we've talked all along, you know, he's got experience. He'll have a chance here to grab that job and run with the job, you know, and we have faith that he can do that. But we will look for some times and some windows to get experience for our younger goaltenders from Cooper, Merrick, and Roman. And, you know, those guys are capable. They've all showed flashes in practice and done some good things. And, you know, we'll look for some windows early on here before we get certainly in WCHA play, where every point is so important. They're all important, but we want to get some guys some experience and figure out our rotation there as well. So it's an ongoing battle and competition daily in practice, and that's driving them all to higher levels.
Do you keep up with what the couple of guys who left? We lost guys last year. Of course, we know where Mitch Hultz is right now, but how about Gordy Dayfield? What's he doing these days? And Gus Coriale?
Yeah, I had a chance. Gordy and I missed each other out recruiting. I was driving out his way, and we called each other a couple times, haven't connected. I thought he just signed somewhere. I can't remember with who. I think in the East Coast Hockey League, but so he's looking to catch on and play. You know, I heard Chris had a great camp. I haven't spoken with him yet. I talked to Mitch a little bit. He was up a couple weeks ago seeing the guys just before he headed out to Anaheim. You definitely do. You know, even Steven Perfetto, you know, was up in the American League having a great camp. I think maybe in Toronto system, but it's always good. He had a chance to talk to Austin McKay a couple weeks ago, and he's playing, he's doing well. So it's fun to touch base with those guys and see where that. There never seems to be enough time, but you know, those long recruiting trips are a real good chance to call some guys and wish them well and check in on them. So we always try to, you know, see how they're doing and make sure things are going well in a positive direction for those guys.
All righty. We got Northern Michigan coming in on Friday night again, 7:07 game time there, or 7:05 right in that area. Be in your seat by 7 o'clock. You'll be able to see the opening faceoff, and hopefully we get a victory there on Friday night. Head on over to Marquette Berry Event Center on Saturday night. Then next weekend, Joe Sean comes to town. Michigan Tech will be here. It'll be Great Lakes State weekend. It's kind of a homecoming weekend at Lake Superior. We'll be talking a lot more next week about that. But that's a big thing on the horizon, too. It's right on top of us.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's always an awesome weekend around the Sault Ste. Marie community and around campus for sure. I know one thing just to mention to our listeners right now is there will be a Blue Line Luncheon that Friday afternoon. We'll do a couple per semester. I know it's was a very long-standing tradition here, and we'd like to kind of bring that back a little bit. Perfect timing to bring Joey in. Joey will be in attendance there, and you know, talk about his time here in the Sioux, but certainly the path that led him to his current job as a head coach at Michigan Tech. So it'll be an exciting weekend for many reasons. I still have a lot of kids that I recruited to that program, so it's always fun to see those guys either before or after. But again, when the puck drops, it's all business, and we'll look forward to that after we get through this Northern Michigan weekend.
All righty, Northern Michigan in here this weekend. Damon, we're out of time this morning. Want to thank you for being here, and kind of interesting to do this show live. It's like doing the Laker hockey show on Tuesday evenings. Jimmy DeSano helping us out here. We thank him as well. Damon, good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. We'll see everybody Friday night. Go Lakers.
All righty, that's another edition of Laker Hockey Talk right here on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.